Blog Talk Radio.
Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, look. Human life in a tight crunch, hypnotized 9-to-5 world. Yep, that's right, the paradigm sucks. Improvise, improvise, force. Break it down, check it out.
Live from the Hawaiian Islands, it's Chant It Down Radio with your host, Lumen, the people beyond.
Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to Chant It Down Radio. Welcome to Chant It Down Radio, Episode 10. I'm your host, Loomis, and welcome again for another episode. We're here live from the Hawaiian Islands, and just getting prepared for the show here. Had a little technical difficulties, but getting online now here and just working it all out. Yeah, welcome to Episode 10. My name is Loomis. I'm a truth speaker. I'm an activist and a lyricist, and we're here just going to do episode 10, which is another episode talking about what I call the real Skyfall. And the real Skyfall is dealing with the aerial spraying, the chemtrail issue, heavy issue. Been discussing it further each episode as we go. Last episode about this was with Michael Murphy, famous filmmaker, and today we're going to have on a very special guest, Max Egan, and we're having a few technical problems here, but should be able to get him on shortly, and hopefully you've been enjoying the archives, the last few shows that's been kind of here and there, but we had Michael Murphy on last time, and I've had a few varieties of shows and topics, and that's kind of how we do this show, just sort of scattershot here and there when we can get guests and cover different topics and just sort of go all over the board, chanting it down. You know, we chant down the Babylon system. We chant down the world that we live in. And why we do that is so we can dissect this world that we live in and see what the truth is out of all the rubble. So when we get through the lies and deception and everything that is around us, holding us back from being our true conscious beings, we can see how to move forward. And that's how we do this show. What I like to say is chant down Babylon to the fullest degree, meaning that we take it to the level of critique that it needs to go to understand our lives fully. And some people consider some of the information I cover a bit negative because they feel that it's showing them problems and they just want to go on with their life, continuing on the perpetuation of their normal life. And I do understand that point of view, mainly thinking about an email I got, and it was into that sort of kind of hinting into, you know, I don't want more problems, no more about bad things. And this is kind of a perspective that I've been covering a lot already on this show, and I get one of those letters, and, you know, I do understand we do need to live our lives, and that is an important thing, too, but the perpetuation of this life we're currently living is causing a lot of problems, and if we continue down the same path we're going, we are going nowhere good. But today's guest is Max Egan. So Max Egan is an incredible filmmaker, true speaker. He's an activist and has his own radio show. His radio show, or at least his webpage, is the crowhouse.com. He's made some of the most well-done documentaries into the big picture of what's really going on. If you have not checked out yet, The Awakening, The Calling, and and Transformation. Those movies are some of the best movies I can prescribe to anyone out there that just wants to get the full picture, be a big picture viewer, and just really start to examine life. And he's got a great take on reality, great guy. And let's see if we can get Max Egan up here. I believe we have him. Hello, Max Egan?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Max.
Hey, excellent.
Welcome to Chantadown Radio, Max.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me on. Sorry about the technical problems. I always have a little bit of difficulty connecting to Blog Talk. I seem to have some strange Skype problems whenever I'm with you guys. I don't know what it is, but here I am anyway.
Yeah, I had some problem even with the information they gave me about getting you on. And well, here we are, and that's the important thing. And we're able to get you on loud and clear, ready to go. How are you doing today, Max?
I'm doing very well. It's a beautiful day here in Queensland, Australia. Up early for the show. It's good. Sunday morning here it is. A lovely day, though.
Yep. And we're still on Saturday over here on the Hawaiian Islands. It's funny, that little line, that invisible line that crosses the ocean, creates the yesterday and today version of reality. Here we are, almost more than a day behind you guys.
Yeah, I'm from the future, you see.
Yeah, time travel.
Yeah.
Well, welcome, Max. We really, really honored to have you on. I was just explaining how, you know, when I have people around me that kind of want to know more about the truth of planet Earth, I usually prescribe your movies in showings so people can kind of get a full grasp of reality, and we really appreciate the information you put out there. Thank you very much for what you do.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. It's important that people do gain a bit of a grasp of reality. I mean, what I try to do with the shows is just help people become empowered in themselves, because I think that's an important part. You know, in this whole alternate research movement, whatever you want to call it, alternate media, all this stuff that we do, the truth movement, whatever you want to call it, there's a lot of people pointing the finger, but nobody really has the solutions, and I believe the solution is with every person, and we really have to realize the power that we've got. I mean, ultimately, we're just all people. The only things we're dealing with are people as well. It's just that, you know, part of the population is empowered and part of the population is disempowered, and we have to learn to get our power back. So I think that's a big part of it. So that's a lot of the focus that I have on the shows.
Correct. That's awesome. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people just need to get activated and fully awakened and become the true beings that they need to be and understand their position here on planet Earth. So,
well, yeah,
lately on this,
we're in a pretty bad spot, you know, pretty bad place. So, yeah, we do need to pay attention, and we do need to understand the position we're in, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I was just going over, I don't know if you had heard or not, but I got an email from somebody who told me they were bringing them down because I was just, you know, giving them, shedding light on the information on what's really going on here on planet Earth. And I get that a lot from people. They don't want to know about, like, the negative. And it's not that I want to bring them down, but I just want to shed light and show them their position on where they're at here on planet Earth and what really needs to be paid attention to. And I feel that a lot of people kind of want to live in their denial bubble and stay in their comfort zone and not really face the possibility of personal responsibility and actually, you know, living the truth.
Well, yeah, you know, it's the kind of frog in water syndrome. It's because, you know, the people that are doing all the damage on the planet and locking humanity down the way they are, they're doing it in a very slow manner, a very slow process. So it's gradualism, you know, and people don't really want you to rock the boat because they're okay, they found their little niche where life works for them and they want to stay there, and they think that they're just a little person and there's nothing they can do against the big machine. And they don't really realize that there is a lot they can do against the machine, because the machine, most of it is just fiction. It only exists on paper. What we're dealing with are just people, the same as everybody else. They've just written all this stuff down in books and they've trained us to believe what's in the books. Really, that's what's going on. It's just a paper-based reality, really, the whole legal system and the whole government system even. It's all just only really exists on paper if you can step back and look at it really, you know, for what it is. And so people have been trained to just accept this gradualism, you know. But really, I mean, you do what you do and I do what I do and the whole alternative media does what it does because we can maybe see a little bit further into the future than most people. And basically, I mean, you're standing on the railway tracks and the train's coming. Humanity in general, this is what's going on. We're sailing off the cliff or we're standing on the tracks and the train's coming. Yeah. And there's certain sections of community that are screaming at the human race to get off the tracks. And they're saying, hang on, you're bringing me down. You're bringing me down. I'm comfortable here on the tracks. I've got a little picnic table. I've got a little television set. Everything's good. The train's a long, long way away. It's not going to hit me for a long time yet, you know. But we can see the train coming, and it gets to that stage because really that's what it is. I mean, we are sailing off the cliff, and we need to pay attention to what's going on because if we allow the ship of state to continue in the direction it's going, we're not going to have a future. Our children aren't going to have a future. Our grandkids aren't going to have a future. And we're in a position now where the workings of mechanism are virtually laid bare for all to see, for those who choose to look. And there is the solution to the problem as well, because now we see what the problem is. We can fix it. And all we've got to do is realize that they're just people. And we don't really have to do what they say. You know, we can change things. If we're in integrity and we respect each other, we can stand up and change things today if we choose to do so.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. I do, yeah. It's an amazing thing, actually, going through the process of awakening, too, because you just start to feel more alive and you feel like you have can fulfill a purpose. So those people that are stuck on the train track having their picnic, when they actually fully wake up, I think they actually feel better about life, knowing that the train is coming and that they're able to do something about their children's future or, you know, act upon something. And I think being active is one of the biggest highs you can get out there in a way, because it's like it opens up so many doors of consciousness.
Well, it's like, you know, when you become conscious, you want to become active. It's just that when you really do see through the matrix and you see what's going on, it is very empowering because you begin to look at the world from a different perspective and you can see life for what it is and you can see the world for what it is. You can see everything differently. The whole world takes on a different meaning once you wake up to this fictional reality that enslaves us, because basically it's a slavery system. The whole of the human race has been caught up in this slavery system. They don't even know that it's there. But once you can see it, it is. It's incredibly empowering, and it's an incredibly liberating experience, and then you become active by default. I mean, once you see it, you can't not do something about it. You can't not tell people about it because, you know, it concerns them, and it is of great concern to them. I mean, they need to wake up to this because it's leading them to a place that they really don't want to be. And they're just not noticing. So it is very empowering. It does create activism in anybody who becomes awake. It just happens by default, I think.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. And one of the ways that I've tried to help wake people up is what the topic I've been kind of covering on and off on this show is the topic of chemtrails, the topic of geoengineering, and all of the various applications. I feel that it helps. It's kind of an in-your-face thing. You know, some of the things you can cover in the alternative research community are a little more hidden, and you have to dig for it. But this one is just straight right above our heads, and all we have to do is basically look up and see what's going on, and just a little background in science, maybe not even science, just, you know, knowing what a contrail and a chemtrail is, a difference, people have to kind of look at that. And so I've been covering that topic and fleshing it out on this show. And last week we had on the documentarian Michael Murphy with What in the World and Why in the World Are They Spraying? And we discussed some of the topics like geoengineering and how it's affecting the planet and our bodies. And then we also discussed the weather control and who benefits from it. But I was able to come across some really unique information on this a while back. Kind of my life and my journey has been that truth has always kind of come to me. I didn't really go looking for it so much. It just sort of came to me. I ran into an insider a while back. This was in 2008. And he shared with me, how there's multi-agendas with this whole Aristotle program. And one of them that he went over was with the fibers that are being sprayed into the air. So when I saw your movie Transformation, all the information this guy gave me dovetailed exactly with what you were covering in that movie, and I really felt that was a real every time anything dovetails with truth, it just reconfirms it for me. But yeah, what we were going to kind of do here in some of the show anyway is just sort of flesh out some of this, if you don't mind. I was told by this insider that these fibers that they're spraying in the air, he calls them Morgellons, these nanotech fibers found in, samples of rainwater, and they are found in our bodies, these growing nanotech fibers. And they found them, and grassroots researchers have found in bodily fluid samples of all many sorts, blood tests, you name it. And what he was telling me is his whole story background was that he was his father worked for all the alphabet soup agencies as a scientist, and he was telling me about, that these fibers form an antenna in our body that goes from our skull all the way down our spine to our reproductive organs, and this antenna is conductive to HARP and other towers across the globe. And basically all these gadgets we have in our household, like smart meters, HDTV boxes, cell phones, and Wi-Fi, and all the things around us keep us on the same frequency. They run on the same frequency as HARP, because it transmits through wind towers and smaller devices that are in our homes. So basically, in a nutshell, in a quick way of explaining it, he was telling me how they keep us, this stuff in our body keeps us in this frequency that they want to have us be in, and it's part of the whole transhumanism agenda. So I was wondering how well you've been updated on all that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, what's going on with all of that. I mean, you're an electromagnetic being. Everything you do, everything you experience is electromagnetic. This is exactly what the smart meter grid is all about. I have no wireless anywhere in my home. I have no wireless internet. I have no cell phones. I have no smart meters. I have nothing wireless anywhere around. And I'm actually in a particularly unique spot in the country where even if someone comes here with a cell phone, they don't receive a signal at my house. It's just, there's no signal here. So I just lucked out where I moved into this place. It just happens to be a place where the mountains around the area just don't allow cell phone signals to reach the place that I'm in. So it's really good, actually. And this is what it's all about. This is what the whole electromagnetic grid's about. So you're supposed to function like the brainwave function and the heart frequency. Everything about the human experience is around 7.8 hertz. And this is the same as the frequency of the Earth, the Schumann cavity resonance. Everything's supposed to function around that frequency, around that electromagnetic frequency. And these cell phones and these smart meters, these are up in the millions and billions of hertz, gigahertz. And these are incredibly damaging frequencies. And now you look at the new games and stuff they're putting out as well, where people can put on a cap. And they can watch the Xbox or whatever device they're using, and they can play the game through telepathy. So they're teaching people to be able to communicate with electronics through their brain. But of course, while they're doing this, they're also learning how to read brainwaves and how to access brainwaves. So now they can put all these smart meters around the whole place, and they can start implanting into people. And people are saying, well, they're not going to be able to do this without putting a microchip or a back door into your body. Well, they're doing this with nanotechnology. The back door's already there. It's in the stuff that you're consuming. It's in the water. It's in the food. Even if you're growing organic food, it's got nanotech in it. But the chemtrail, the whole chemtrail issue and the whole nanotech issue, it's a very, very important issue, but it's a very, very difficult thing to wake people up to, because people look at it and they go, well, this is the twilight zone. Now, even with the film that I put out recently, Transformation, a lot of people told me I was really going out on a limb putting film out because of the grounded manner of the radio shows that I do. And they go, well, here you are now, you're talking about nanotechnology and chemtrails in this film. How do you think people are going to take this? And I thought, well, it's information that they need. This is just where my research has led me to. It's information that people need, however unsettling it may be. This is what is in, you know, when you look at it, this is what's happening. So what am I supposed to do? Just ignore it? So I put the film out just to let people know. But again, I mean, I find the information empowering. I mean, if you don't know what the problem is, you can't address the problem. And that film and the whole nanotech and geoengineering scenario indicates that just how far these people are prepared to go, just what they're capable of and how little empathy they have. And just how dangerous a position the human race really is in if we choose to ignore this situation. And I think you'd remedy it and fix it very, very simply. All we have to do is rediscover ourselves and start to respect each other. It's really that simple. You know, if this whole society actually started to respect each other, if you started to respect the people around you the way you do yourself, every single person on the planet, we could change the world in one day. You know, and that's the basic thing. You know, everyone, they become aware of this information and they point the finger at government and they say, now I know what's going on. We want it fixed. But that's what they do. We want it fixed. We want you to fix it or someone to come and fix it. Max, you fix it. Or some researcher, you fix it. You know, whoever the researcher is that they listen to, whoever's radio show they listen to, they want that person to fix it. He's got the solutions. You go and take care of me. People aren't prepared to take care of themselves. They've got to realize the solution lies with each one of us to rediscover our power and realize that the people we are dealing with are just people. And the only reason they get away with what they do is because we believe the silly rules that they write down in the silly books actually have power over us, but they don't. You know, we've just got to rediscover ourselves. And they only do have power over us because we live in a divided community. We can't stand up together. We can only stand up as one person. And you get a whole group of thuggish police come and jump on top of you, what are you going to do? But if you get the whole community stand up because they all respect each other and they know each other and they know there's a problem and they know they can fix it in one day, we fix it in one day. It's really that simple. You know, and that's why I do what I do, just to try to sort of shake people awake or slap them awake or something. But, you know, we've got a situation here and we do need to deal with it. And I think it comes down to each individual on this planet changing their perspective of who and what they are, remembering their own power.
Yeah, very well said. Yeah, I agree. I think that everyone has within them an ability and skill to give to the world. You know, I came across this radio show as a way of I had a lot of information to give, and I feel like what's the point of having information without giving it out? And but that's just like one of the ways, you know, that people can do things. There's many ways, but we all have our own little niche and our little skills that we can help to give make the world a better place and wake people up. And it's just it's a challenge because I think I don't know what it is. I guess I came up with a thought about it one day where, you know, why are some activated and others not? You know, people seem like that are awakened and actually trying to do something about it, or maybe are accessing a higher consciousness. But it seems like a lot of the world is so rooted in ego and a lower vibration. But I just can't figure it out because I can tell somebody about, you know, any form of corruption or just to have them look at our situation on planet Earth, and it's like they just couldn't care enough. They go, oh, yeah, well, I heard about that before. But then they don't really, like, they don't get a fire under them to actually get active. And I've wondered, you know, what is the difference between people who are trying to make a change and fully awaken, those that just kind of take that information and just like, oh, well. Because you're right, we could make a change in just one day if we had a whole consciousness shift. But it seems like there's just something blocking it. And, of course,
well,
it
doesn't help with all the A lot of it, I think, could be biological. You know, it depends on what vaccines people have had, and everybody's biology is different, and how much fluoride they consume, what types of food they consume, what's in the foods they consume. And there's fluoride compounds in so much food. Fluoride really dulls your mental state down. It really, really keeps people dull, keeps people in a state where they just can't think too clearly, but they don't know that. And, of course, they're trained within our society that if you suggest that to them, they'll take it as an affront against their ego. They'll take it as a personal attack because they're trained to think that way. You know, they're trained to be competitive. They're trained to, you know, think about themselves in a certain way. So a lot of it is programming and a lot of it is biological as well. And, again, you know, you don't know what vaccines people have had when they've been younger and how it's reacted with their particular biology. Because these things, I mean, it's one big experiment that they're doing here. Everybody's different, and yet they're putting all of these toxins into everybody just to see what they come up with. It's like the whole transhumanist thing as well. I mean, they know kind of where they want to go, but they don't really know what it's going to look like. It's just this organic process. I mean, that's the way things work. You know, it's like one big experiment. We've got these mad scientists are putting this whole transhumanist thing together. And, you know, it's just it's a tricky thing. But, you know, when you are awake, I think one of the best things to do is to lead by example in what you do. Be an absolute pleasure to be around. When you bring information to people, don't be paranoid about it. Just bring it to them because it's necessary and laugh about it and joke about it. But always be a pleasure. Always leave them feeling empowered. Do things for people. Give to people. Give of yourself. And you'll find that you attract people. Because people want to emulate you. You know, you're happy all the time. You've got this thing going on. You're in this high energetic state. And every time they're around you, they feel like they've been uplifted, you know, and they want to know why. How can I be in that positive energetic state? Well, you know, it's because I've got this information, because I know how the world works. I know who and what I am. And the knowledge has empowered me into action. Now, I've been able to change my life and change the direction of my life. Because really, if you do this and you are in the correct energetic state, because I'm not paranoid in anything that I do and anything that I talk about, some of the most dreadful things that I talk about on the radio show, I find every single one of them to be empowering. And I've understood the law of mirroring, how reality will mirror back to you what your emotional state is. And I am in a state of love and empowerment pretty well all the time. I mean, sometimes I'll get down, sometimes I'll get angry. I get attacked sometimes. I got severely attacked a week or two ago. I posted a clip about vegetables, an old clip from 2 years ago, Ben Stewart and I talking about the need to eat good food. I posted it on Facebook, and someone fully attacked me because I didn't talk about chemtrails in it. And I thought, well, this is a conversation about vegetables. I'm trying to get to the man on the street who lives in New York or something and get him to try to eat organic food, rather than eating this processed stuff from the supermarket, and you want me to talk about chemtrails. I think it's inappropriate, you know. And they just kept going and kept going. I was in a particular time, and my father had just had a bad accident. He'd fallen, he's punctured his lungs, he's broken ribs, he's 89, he's in hospital, he's not in a good way. We don't know if he's going to make it. And it just wasn't the time to attack me. I just lashed out at this person. I thought, well, there you go. I'm human too. I'm not bulletproof. You know, you can't just attack people. You can't, you know, this is just what it's become, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I can get quite emotional about things. And I think it's important that people see that as well. I think it's important that people embrace their emotions. But even so, you know, like, I don't judge the person. I don't hate people. I don't hold grudges with people. And I try to empower people in everything I do. And this, I believe, is the best way to wake people up, to be yourself and to not be afraid to express who you are, but to help people and always try to leave people empowered with the information that you give them. So then they want to emulate it. They want to know the information. You know what I mean? If we can lead by example, that's the best form of truth spreading that there is.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, being a sample. I agree. I think that, like, I've had, you know, people close to me. Sometimes it seems like family's some of the hardest people to wake up, at least in my world. But I've noticed that some people around me think that I must not have any fun because I cover this information. And it's actually just the opposite. I experience life to the fullest and enjoy every day and love the ones around me. And I think a lot of people think people like you and I and others must live in some little reclusive cave and just hate everything around us. But that's not the truth at all. I know that a lot of people, like you say, it empowers you. This information empowers you, and you kind of have an edge over reality. And I feel that it really gives an energetic kind of an energy off on other people, and it does work. I have had in the past people that doubted things, and then maybe a year later they start to come around. They start to see, you know, what you're doing, and they realize that there is a little more to it. But it can be a little frustrating at times, I being around people that don't want to wake up or just kind of want to continue on with their slumber, their zombie slumber, I call it. But that is one of the things that does work, is just be a sample. I agree. And I was just going to say that I was covering on one of the shows a little bit ago some of the obvious things now with this whole chemtrails agenda is how they put it right in movies and cartoons. I don't know if you've had a chance to check out the latest Disney one called Planes. I don't know if you saw that or not. But they actually show, you know, they draw in the chemtrails and the harp rings in the air and all that, and they fly right up into it. They like to, like, kind of desensitize the population, get used to these fake clouds, these shredded cotton candy looking things. I've seen it in commercials and even video games, and I was able to wake somebody up that way to that, which was powerful. But I don't know if you've had a chance to notice some of this. I was even at a friend's house, and the kids were playing with Legos, and they were putting together Legos with the instructions, and I looked at the background of the instructions, and they put in all those fake clouds, all those chemtrail clouds in the background. It's just kind of a way to desensitize it. I guess they just want people to think this is just completely normal, huh?
Oh, yeah, these are what normal clouds look like. That's what they want people to think. Yeah, I've seen them everywhere in movies. They're even putting them in old movies. You can get out old movies now, and they'll say, oh, look, no, they've always been there, see? And you can get out movies before there were jets, right? And there's chemtrails in the sky that they've put in there, you know? So, yeah, they're even adding them to old films. They're really trying to desensitize everybody. So, yeah, it's a massive problem. But, again, it's a difficult one to wake people up to. It's hard enough just to get people to understand that their government may not have their best interests at heart, let alone to bring them, you know, to their attention the fact that they're actually spraying you with poisons and toxins and nanotechnology and doing all the other things that they're doing. It's a difficult situation that we face. But I think that more and more people are waking up. All the global situation, everything that's happening, I mean, what just happened in Syria, I mean, the wheels are falling off the whole system because it's becoming so transparent. My biggest concern is the amount of people that are speaking out against the Western system, but they're failing to provide any real solutions. It's almost like the Occupy movement. You know, people were screaming and marching in the streets and shaking their fists at the system, saying, we want to bring the system down, and then we want to do something, but we don't know what it is. And if people are going to bring this system down and shake their fist at this system and take a good swipe at this system before the community is empowered in knowing who and what they are, it's going to create a pretty dangerous situation. So people really do need to be focusing on self-empowerment and realizing what the solution to this system is. We don't need to bring it down. We need to rein it in and change the direction it's going and lead it back to a point, or help get it to lead us back to a point where we don't need it. You know, because we don't really need government. We don't need government to deal with all the problems the government gives us to deal with. You know, we don't need government at all. But we need to rediscover ourselves before we can do without government. You know, unfortunately, in this situation, 90% of the planet does need government, or 90% of Western society does need government, because they simply can't look after themselves. But if we can rein it in, get all these toxins out of our environment and put it back in a direction where it's going to empower people, give people proper education again and good food and a good environment, we'll find that within a short time we won't need government. So we need to have an empowered community. I think that's the most important point to focus on, is the empowerment of the community, because we've got to have that before this system comes down, before the dollar crashes, before any of this happens. Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize the danger that they're flirting with by just pointing their finger and shaking their fist and screaming bad man without, you know, providing some sort of a solution. We've got to be focused on solutions, you know.
Yeah, and I try to give solutions even with the chemtrail issue, but it's a little difficult. I've tried to give in a couple things. I don't know if you've heard of the wine rinse before, but to help extract some of the metals and fibers out of our body, you can use wine. I'll give you a link to that later. I sort of lost my train of thought, but the whole thing is that you're on the right show, that's for sure. That's what we cover a lot on here, is we really don't need government. We really don't need money. We don't need I like to use a template for an example on this show is the indigenous people who lived on this planet for thousands of years that knew how to live on this planet and didn't need all those things. I talk about the true earth people. You know, there were tribal wars and there was a lot of disruption, but I believe at one time this planet had mostly a very peaceful community. If you look at some of the older earth cultures, there's some African cultures like the Hadzabe peoples who still try to live that way today. They were egalitarian communities. They didn't have government or really leaders, and they lived off the land. They knew how to replenish the land, live with the seasons, and they've had a pretty good balance. So I always take that model and try to kind of look at where humanity's gone. Almost kind of like the movie Gods Must Be Crazy. Those movies are kind of useful tool for at least me, is just kind of look at that model and go, wow, look where we are now. And, you know, we don't really even need civilization. That's one of the things I talk about a lot on this show, too. It's just the fact that how we live on this planet isn't something that is natural in the way that how we take from the earth all the time, not giving back, live in these cities piled up on each other. It's just insane. But I guess I sort of forgot where I was going with this. But you know what I mean? I always go back to the earth people and try to, show people that too.
Well, yeah, I mean, civilization is so detrimental to mankind. It doesn't serve us in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't seem like anything natural. It doesn't seem like something we would have come up with by ourselves, because it simply doesn't service our needs. It services the needs of the system, but it doesn't service the needs of mankind at all. So, yeah, you've got to wonder where that came from. It doesn't seem like we would come up with this on our own. I mean, even if we were hunters and gatherers, I mean, I don't know why we would get to a position where we'd be building these huge buildings and doing what we're doing and divorcing ourselves so far from nature. It doesn't make sense. I mean, nature provides everything we need to survive. We can't survive without nature. No matter how much we choose to lock ourselves in the city and divorce ourselves from it, we still need food. We still need the basic necessities of life, and this all comes from nature. So how would we come up with a civilization which is so far removed from that and so detrimental to human well-being? It boggles the mind, really.
Yeah, it's alien to this planet's way of life.
Well, it is. It's alien to anything natural. It just doesn't seem to make any sense, you know. And you look at the damage that it's done, and really, I mean, the whole commercial system that goes with it. I mean, I talk about this so much on the air. And that's a really hard one as well. I mean, I talk about a lot of the stuff that I talk about on my shows. I mean, I guess it's for people that are pretty awake, because your average man on the street, you try to talk to him about not using money, and they'll tell you you're a communist or whatever. They can't imagine what life would be like without commerce, because that's the meaning of most people's lives is commerce. That's what they dedicate their whole lives to. But really, it's one of the hugest problems that we face. commerce has been responsible for all of the destruction that we've seen on the planet. It's all happened because of it's been financially expedient to do so. There's been profit involved in doing so. We had to cut corners to save money and all this sort of stuff. This is why there's been environmental pollution, and why there's all these shoddy building practices and all the damage that we've seen, wars, destruction, the reason you have tyrants, the reason you have people lording over other people, greed, theft, all of this stuff. It all comes from commerce, the whole lot. So where did this come from? Why was that superimposed over our minds? And that's a really, really difficult program to break people out of, because most people, their whole life revolves around commerce, and it's something that they never think about. People never think about the fact that they actually have to pay to be alive. They just don't think about it. It's just money. It's something we use every day. We never ask where it comes from or why it exists. And many people cannot imagine life without it. It's a difficult one to difficult hurdle to overcome, you know.
Correct. Yeah, I know. I had a conversation with my good brother today and this morning, and we were talking about how money is. That seems to be an unnecessary step in survival, because we have everything we need growing on the planet, but we have this backwards way of living to where we go out and slave away for a whole day to make money, to pay to live in a place, to pay to go to the grocery store, get our food. It just seems backwards and so unnecessary to just survive, because we really don't need much but community, love, shelter, food, water. And I feel like the biggest conspiracy that a lot of people I don't hear talking about too much are thinking about is the fact that somehow they got us to live in civilization and got us off the land and off our land base and our survival.
Well, yeah, and it was through money that they did it, through commerce. This is what you do. You go and you find a tribal culture somewhere, some race living on an island. You go and impose an economic system over their mind, whereby they have to pay to be alive. And suddenly they have to exploit all of their surroundings and sell the trees and sell the forest and sell all of their resources and do all this stuff so they can get the paper that they need to have everything that's there for them in abundance. You know, it places a barrier between you and your heritage, which is abundance. It's your natural state. This is a planet of abundance. And yet we have to go out and work to destroy the planet to collect paper in order to get what the planet provides for us. But we're not going to have that for long, because we're destroying it in order to get the paper. You know what I mean? It's completely backwards. And it's like a pathogen. It's like a mental pathogen. The commercial system is like a mental pathogen that is superimposed over people's minds. And once people get into a state where they start using money and they start performing commerce in their everyday lives, it affects their mind in such a manner that they simply cannot imagine how life could possibly work without commerce. It's almost like another sense that gets superimposed over their five senses, that they think this is how they have to interact with reality. There's a commercial value on everything. It's all about balancing the books. And it's ridiculous. But it's a very, very difficult program to break people out of. Now, tribal cultures, they look at you like you're crazy. What are you passing this paper around to each other for? What's that got to do with anything? But we cannot imagine. We just call them uncivilized. I don't understand these idiots, these idiot natives. They just don't understand how it works, do they? You know. And then we enslave them to this system. It's ridiculous, but it is. It's a pathogen. That's the way I view it, anyway. You know?
Oh yeah, me too. I see it here in the Hawaiian Islands, because we have the indigenous Hawaiians, which there's very few left, and it's terrible. The mortality rate is really high because the obesity, all the processed foods, alcohol. ICE, we have a horrible epidemic with methamphetamines here. All this has really been targeted at these people, but I always go, wherever I go in the world, I always see the indigenous cultures as being behind this system in a really odd position, because their families resisted it as much as they could every generation, but then somehow they got bamboozled. And they got to where a point where they they just got to where they said, well, if you can't beat them, let's just join them. But a lot of these cultures, it takes generations and generations to even try to get through and get convinced that they need this system. Even if they don't know, it's maybe in their DNA, I don't really know. But it's an interesting thought a friend of mine was talking about on the show about how, where did this elite culture come from? I mean, you know, everybody has their thoughts, the reptilian, the whole deal with that. But I don't know. But where it came from is interesting because it is so alien to the rest of the peoples on planet Earth. And still you have these indigenous communities that are still behind, and they're caught in all the pitfalls of society too. You know, half the Hawaiians in jail. You know, it's really sad. I'm sure it's that way with the Aboriginals over there as well. And it just shows you that this planet, this civilization has had its challenges in getting everybody to get on the same page.
Oh yeah, well, it's what the whole Crown Corporation's been all about. It's what the whole Vatican system's been all about. See, all this whole commercial system and everything—it all comes from Rome, really, the one that we've got at the moment. But I mean, you can trace it back further than that, back to Sumer, really, and the Sumerians.
Yeah.
They started all the accounting and banking and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, it goes back a long way. But it's the commercial system that is the problem with the whole thing. And with the indigenous cultures, they just bamboozle them with technology. You see, we've created the third world by the creation of the first world. You know, the first world is what created the third world. We took all their resources from them. You know, we found all these cultures. We enslaved them to a commercial system. We stole all their resources to build our nations up to what we see today. And we left them in abject poverty. And now we dangle a few mobile phones and iPods and a bit of technology in front of them, give them a few Hollywood movies, and so they see that's what Western world's like, and they go, wow, that's pretty cool, I want that. So now we transfer all the wealth out of the first world into the third world. The people in the first world, they're so dependent upon the commercial system now that you can take all the wealth from them, you can reduce the first world down to the level of the fourth world. And these people are so programmed that they'll go work the mines, they'll work the fields, they'll do whatever they have to do in order to collect the paper they think they need to survive. And you can transfer all the wealth into the third world then, and you can build them up to what the first world is now. And over two generations, they'll get completely disconnected from everything that, you know, their family units, all that sort of stuff. They'll get bamboozled by technology. They'll get enslaved to the commercial system completely over two generations. And then you take the wealth away from them, and you reduce them back down to slave level as well. And that way you've got the whole world working as your slaves. And then you can expel more and more of humanity along the way so that you just have enough people to work the infrastructure. That's all you need. In the UK, they've recently outlawed homelessness. It's actually illegal to be homeless in the United Kingdom. So
Wow. What
they do is they ramp all the prices up and they force people into a state where they can't pay their mortgage and they're kicked out and they're homeless, and then bang, they nab them and they put them in a jail. They get them making number plates or whatever the state needs. So essentially these jails are labor camps. So basically they're creating homeless people for their labor camps, and now the labor camps are supplying what the system needs. And this is just the way they do it. And you'll see this model going out around the world. Soon it'll be illegal to be homeless anywhere. And the system, of course, creates more and more homeless people. And because we all measure ourselves by our social status, we're taught that it's about how much stuff you've got. That's who you are. Then, you know, we're up a higher rung on the ladder than these other people. And it's okay to discard them because they've got less stuff than me. So they obviously weren't worth very much. They weren't very worthwhile people because they didn't have much stuff. And it just goes up the ladder like that. It eventually gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And then the person who's thinking that, eventually they get discarded as well. And the people above them on the rung, the next rung, they won't help them because they're obviously a lesser person because they couldn't manage their stuff well enough. You know, so we're all judged by our stuff. And it's because we believe we can own the earth as well. I mean, you can't become homeless unless you believe you can actually own part of the planet. And you can't steal the planet. You can't own the planet yourself and steal the whole thing from everybody else unless you can trick everybody into thinking that you can own the earth. But you can't. It's the earth. You can't own the earth. you know. But if I want to steal, if I want to steal the earth from you and everybody else, then if I can trick you into believing that you can own this little square, this little house block, and then I can enslave you to a money system which is destined to collapse, then eventually you will lose that little block of land and it will transfer into my hands because I issued the money. And because you believed you owned it, now when it transfers into my hands because you believe the paper's real, now you'll believe that I own it. And then I can own the earth, but only a perceived ownership. Everyone will think I own the earth because they believe the paper-based system is real, and they believed that they could actually own a piece of the earth. But you can't own the earth. The earth is your heritage. It belongs to everybody. It's a world of abundance that's here for mankind to experience life. That's what it's for. And we're here to experience ourselves and to find out who and what we are and to experience the art of ourselves and live the art of our lives and see what we can create, you know, be all that we can be to the greatest of our potential and see what wonderful legacy we can leave behind. And we've had all of that taken away from us. We've been enslaved to this paper-based reality which is being used to basically steal the earth from all of mankind and transfer it into the perceived ownership of a very, very small handful of people. That's what's going on. And all this whole nanotech and all the stuff they're doing, it's just mechanisms that they're putting in place to control the people that are left. And it's a slavery system. And it's happening right under people's noses, and they're just not paying attention. They're so busy caught up on the treadmill collecting this paper because they think they need it, and it's all about that. It's all about commerce. Got to collect all this stuff. That's what life's about. And they're just not paying attention to what's going on around them or even asking why they have to collect this paper all the time. Why they have to pay to be here? Nobody ever asks that basic question. Why do I have to pay to be alive?
That's the deeper question. Yeah. That's why I bring up the chemtrail issue on the show. I mean, it's hard for me to stay on it because there's so much to focus on and talk about. But I guess it's because it's the ultimate end game for them to control our bodies, the weather, the all nature, everything, and that's what I see the New World Order as, is them playing God. They're trying to control the entire world and everything in it. And this whole chemtrail issue is pretty much controls the whole world, and along with their money-based system and everything else. And it's hard because you have these people that I'm one of them as well, who, yeah, I don't want to belong to this, but there's nowhere to go. They create a place where there's nowhere to go. Either you go along with it, or if you try to live alternatively without money, well, you suffer in a pretty horrible life usually, or you become homeless. And so a lot of these homeless people, I wonder, because we have a whole lot here on this island. We have over 6,000 homeless. It's insane. It's like these are people that maybe they didn't fit in, but since they had nowhere to go and no community or support system, they just sort of fell through the cracks, and they slowly went insane through the different substance abuse, and you know, they just had no community to help them. So it's hard because there isn't really anywhere for the people to go that question this reality. Maybe they don't even question this reality, but they just don't fit in, and they just can't do this. And so they're just pretty much pissed on the ground in this society. It's really bad.
This is why we have to start respecting each other. You know, people have to understand that it's not about stuff. You know, if there was respect in the community, you wouldn't have homeless in the community. If there was real respect, you know. I mean, especially in the United States, there's twice as many empty homes as there is homeless people. What's that all about? There's all these empty homes. Why are there homeless people? You know, because we're a sociopathic society that's all based on the commercial system. You know, the commerce, that's the problem. It's all about commerce. That's the only reason there is homeless people, because of this commercial model. But again, it's like a pathogen. How do you get this into people's minds? How do you get people to see this? Because people think it's real. They honestly think that life is about commerce. Commerce is the meaning of life. Time itself is money. You know, it's ridiculous. It's just, that's what's created all of the problems that we face, really. if you look at society, all of the environmental degradation, all of the homeless, all the wars, all the starvation, you know, oil spills, Fukushima, everything, it's all because it's been financially expedient. So it's the commercial system that is the biggest problem. And, you know, this goes way, way, way back. So it's since that's been imposed over our psyche that's created all of this. And there shouldn't be any homeless people. And the only way we're going to stop that is the power of a united community. It's not going to stop until people realize what's going on. It's probably going to have to get worse yet until it's so in your face that people just step back and say, hang on a minute. You know, this is constructed. This can't be real. I mean, I don't know what it will take to wake people up. To me, it's so obvious. To so many people, it's so obvious what this system is. But maybe it'll have to get worse. But as soon as people can start respecting each other and realize that we are all equal and we are all in this together, then things will change. You know, as soon as we do that. And, you know, there shouldn't be any homeless. Like I said, there's twice as many homes as there are homeless. So put them there, you know. It's only commerce that prevents us doing it.
Yeah, correct, yeah. I feel that sometimes things need to get really bad, and I don't want them to get bad, but there's a small part of me that gets excited when things get worse. It sounds awful, but it's because I realize that maybe people will go to that level of wake-up because they realize things are really getting bad. And I guess what it has to be, at least in America, and I'm sure many of the Western cultures, is that people are too comfortable. They have everything they supposedly, quote-unquote, need, and they don't really feel any desperation, and they don't feel any concern to change. So I kind of feel like things, unfortunately, must have to get worse because, I mean, look what they're already doing with our bodies. I mean, spraying nanotech into us. I know one of the ingredients in chemtrails is barium, and barium is what you take when you have a CAT scan. And I feel that, you know, they probably use that on radar so they can pick us up, you know, if things really hit the fan and people are running around in the forest, they could probably still find people that way. And I just feel like, people need to wake up now before it's too late, because it's a problem with our culture is we wait till things get really bad and then I almost feel like it could be too late. I don't know what your view on that is, but I have an unfortunate thought that not enough people are waking up fast enough.
Well, yeah, the problem is that it's a gradual process, you know, and barium tracks you everywhere. You can find you everywhere with barium in your body through the X-band radar. So there's nowhere to hide from it. You can't go and build an alternative community in the forest or something and think you're going to survive there because they'll still find you. But, yeah, I mean, it's a gradual process, and because the more and more people are discarded, it's these people are going into the prison systems and they're getting, you know, going and getting dumped down in Tijuana or wherever, you know. So it's a gradual thing, and it keeps even the people who are being discarded, keeps them divided amongst themselves because they're all stuck in this economic system as well. They've got to go and create these little ultimate communities where they're just fighting each other for survival. So divide and conquer the whole way, you know. They've created a very, very turbulent rubbish tip to throw people on as they're discarded. And people, unfortunately, don't pay attention to anything until it affects them personally. You know, they're trained to be sociopathic. And the fluoride keeps people sort of dumbed down, the television, and again, running on the treadmill. There's so much going on that they just don't really want to pay attention to what's going on around them because they're too concerned trying to deal with their own problems, all of which are fiction, all of which are a creation. Now, most people are running really, really fast and they're going absolutely nowhere, and what they're doing is completely and utterly meaningless, but they don't ever have time to step back and look at it because they're so busy running, you know, but they know where they're going. And they think they do, but they really don't if they step back and look. So it's a difficult thing. And the problem is that we may get to the point of no return, you know. By the time enough people do wake up, well, it's already too late. But, you know, I think we will get through it. I think it's going to get to a point where human consciousness will simply come online. I think we're far too creative to be kept down the way we are. And the worst case scenario is that we wipe out our own species, which is a possibility with Fukushima and all the stuff that we're doing. But, you know, we'll never kill the Earth. The Earth will continue. The Earth doesn't need us. This is one of the great myths that we are the guardians and the shepherds of the Earth, and the Earth needs us to tend it. It doesn't. We need it far more than it needs us. So even with radiation and all the things that we're doing, life will go on. It may not be life as we know it, and it may not be human life, but life on this Earth will go on. The Earth will continue for a very, very long time yet. So we're never going to kill the planet. But we do have a great danger of terminating the human experiment ourselves if we don't pay attention to who and what we are. I think that's the great difficulty. I have a great love for mankind. I have a great love for life on this planet, and I can really see the potential of us to be something far, far more than what we are, and to go in a completely different direction to the one we're currently going. And that's why I do what I do. But ultimately, I don't have any stake in the outcome either. I mean, humankind will do what humankind will do. My point and my part here may be small and insignificant, but I will still do what I feel I have to do, and I will still speak out about these issues, and I will still help point mankind in a better direction, because I think it's necessary. I think it's what I'm here to do. But I think it's important that people pay attention, but don't focus on the negative and don't really have a stake in the outcome, because you're just here for the experience. It's what you do with the time that you're here. It's the legacy you leave behind. Now, you're only here for a little while, and don't place too much stake in the outcome. Don't get frustrated if people don't respond. Don't sit there and just think it has to go this way. You know, I have to make it go this way. And if it doesn't, I'm going to get angry. I'm going to get frustrated. Just do what you do. Lead by example in all that you do, and help build a better world in the way that you can and the way that is comfortable to you. And I think these sorts of things will ripple out. I think that's the best option that we've got, really. You know, we can't fight the system, because the system is a cloud, it's fiction. And the best option is to wake people up to the fiction by leading by example in what we individually do.
You said it.
I hope that made sense too, you know.
It makes sense, yeah, it does. I think it's a good position that you stated, because there is like, you don't want to focus on the negative and all the time, but you want to be aware of the negative, but you also don't want to give false hope into like the future if it could turn out bad. But I always like to, you know, tell people, at least in my personal experience, that souls are eternal. I believe that, you know, we're not just here for this experience only, and this is just an experience, and it's a ride. And people say that our souls chose to be here, at least some people do, and I agree with that. And I wonder, you know, how there's, you know, over 7 billion humans now on the planet. You got to wonder if all these souls chose to be here in this time to see some kind of great transition or awakening happen on the planet.
Well, you never know. There's a possibility. Yeah. You just never know. I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I feel like I've found my path. And I don't know. I mean, I think everything happens for a reason. I think that we probably all are here to experience this. I think this is a really, really important part in human history. And I think that many of us are here to help with this transgression. I mean, I think we're walking on a knife edge. We could go either way at the moment. And it'll be interesting to see which way we do go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, would you mind if we took any calls on the show here?
No, I'm quite happy to take calls if you like.
I'm going to just put out the call-in number and see what happens here. Yeah, if you'd like to join Tanit Down Radio, the call-in number is 347-324-3342. And taking calls live on the air with Max Egan. Come join us if you like. If you're a Skype caller, just go online, and complicated, we dealt with that, but it's getting a listener account, and come on in. We have just a little bit left in the show. Max, did you have any solutions you'd like to go over of any sort, or any solutions to the chemtrail issue, or anything you'd like to discuss?
Look, I think the solutions to everything are what I was saying before, for people to rediscover themselves. I think the solution is for us to respect ourselves and to respect those around us. You know, I've gone through this so many times on air about the need for people to rediscover themselves and to not look for leaders, not think that there's a movement they can join. You know, what this is an idea of time has come. That's what we have to understand. There are no leaders. We have to lead ourselves. You have to lead yourself. You have to be a shining example in your community of what integrity actually is. You know, because if we are all in a state of integrity and doing the right thing in all that we do and helping those around us and serving creation by our efforts in this world, we can change the world in one day. And we've got to question authority in every single manner. That's something that everybody can do just for the sake of it. Anything the government asks you to do, any council tax, any fine, anything the government asks you to do, just write them a letter and query it. Ask them why you have to do this, why you have to pay this bill, why you have to pay these rates, why this new council tax has come in. Even if you end up paying it eventually, just write the letter and question them. Because if they get millions of people doing this, it's going to clog up their paperwork, it's going to clog up their system. And I reckon create every single hurdle you can for the system and question authority at every single opportunity that you can. Do it politely, do it eloquently, don't get yourself in trouble, but don't think anybody has authority over you, because they don't. It's just a paper-based reality. And, you know, you can do things like that. Go and look up the term sui generis, everybody, S-U-I-G-E-N-I-R-I-S. That is a legal definition of your uniqueness. That's what you are. You are all sui generis. Therefore, you are unique. You have no peers. You cannot be subject to the laws of your peers because you are sui generis. And nobody has any right of ownership over you. Anybody who claims they do is part of a slavery system, and you require proof of claim that they're not running a slavery system. Just approach things in this way, because it is a slavery system, and we can really clog up the works of it, and we can lead by example in all we do with our community. I think that's the most important thing. That's the most important solution, is to come into your power by example and be a person of integrity, because integrity has no need of rules. And if you can question the authority of this system and question the integrity of this system in a polite and loving way, don't be angry at these people. Love them. They're man, you know, mankind, the same as you. They're just brainwashed. That's why they're doing what they're doing. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, be loving, be respectful, but be firm. Don't take a backward step and question authority. Know who and what you are. That is the most important thing everybody can do, because that's where the solution lies. When everybody rediscovers themselves and realizes that this system only exists on paper, it's been put in place by people we employ to manage our infrastructure for us, and all they're doing is putting in rules that they're using to steal from us. Once people realize this, we can change the world. But, you know, it's got to come from respect and integrity. That's the basis of the whole thing. Without that, we have nothing. Without that, we deserve rules. If we don't have respect and integrity, then we deserve what we get. So, you know, it comes down to the individual changing their perspective. That's how we change the world. Now, this is all a product of imagination. We made the whole thing up. We can make up something different as soon as we respect each other, and that's what we need to do.
Yeah, it's all an illusion, just like the international dateline we were talking about earlier. It's just there because we believe it's there, and we believe in it, and that's about it. It's just this reality that we all believe in, and once we unplug, the whole thing will fall. And that's kind of my journey.
Well, it will, you know. It's difficult because, you know, I mean, people always want a form to fill out. They think, what can I do? I want to go and march in this rally or whatever. Okay, Max, tell me what the solution is. And when you tell them the solution is them, they don't like it. They think, well, you're being esoteric. You're beating around the bush. You're not telling me what I need to know. Where's the form that I go and fill out? Where's the battle that I go and wage? They don't realize it's a simple change of perspective and then applying that perspective to the world around you. I mean, that's what I've done, and I'm making a difference, and so are you, and so is everybody who is speaking out. And everybody can do it. This is why I wanted to remain anonymous for so long. You know, it was a shame when I went to Slovenia last year and the video of me got out there and people actually saw my face, because the whole idea of being anonymous was the fact that I'm nobody. You don't have to be somebody to speak out. It doesn't matter who I am or what I look like. I'm just a voice. And everybody can have a voice should you choose to start speaking. And that's what it was all about. I wanted people to know that you don't have to be somebody, in inverted commas, to make a difference. Everybody can do it. And you just got to be prepared to act. And that's what I hope people will do, you know.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's not a popularity contest out there. It's just to get, you know, people to see the truth. And maybe, I haven't put my face out there, and I don't plan to either, because I would rather just have them focus on a message, you know, something that comes out of this, if anything, is just the right message and the right solutions, and not really look at the speaker or the messenger. You know, I think people get caught up too much. And then there's all that infighting, which is just ridiculous. You know, everybody's trying to make a change, and I know that some of that is been purposely put in there, some of that infighting between true speakers. But yeah, this is just all about, you know, getting the information out. It's not about some kind of imagery at all. I think that's part of our ego-based society that gets involved in that one too.
Oh yeah, you know, a lot of the infighting, it's there. It's just there to undermine the movement. You know, you're making a difference when people start attacking you. So you know, it's good in some ways. You know. But a lot of it, I mean, there's so much disinformation in the alternative research community. And there's very few people that are actually trying to empower the community. A lot of it's just finger-pointing, you know. So I suggest to people that when they look at alternative researchers, to have a look at their websites and see if they're attacking other people. Because if they've got, you know, pages of hatred against other researchers and big articles, you know, attacking other researchers, saying this guy's a shill and this guy's that, and well, they're probably just disinformation, you know, because division is the biggest problem that we face, you know, divide and conquer. And we're only going to fix this problem through human unity. And once the alternative research community unites, we could really be a powerful force. I've tried to unite a lot of researchers. I've gone and met a lot of them. And it's difficult to get people to unite. A lot of people seem to have their own agendas. There are a lot of voices out there. Just be careful of who's selling division and who's selling personal empowerment, you know, because a lot of people are saying, follow me. My way is the only way. If it doesn't come from me, it's disinformation. And if someone's saying that, I would be very, very careful of the information you're assimilating.
Yeah, that's good for those out there, you know, just getting involved in this perspective, looking at life, and to, you know, follow the right people and use your heart and check out, you know, what they're doing as far as attacking others. And, you know, the people that, like you and I, Max, I do this for absolutely no money. I just do it because I feel that it's the great work. It's the purpose to help humanity and do what we can. And I think that anyone out there looking to follow anybody, which we shouldn't be looking to follow, but looking for information to, you know, help wake us up more, it should be looking at people that are doing it from out of love. And I appreciate all you do, Max, too. We really appreciate it. Looks like we are getting down to the last few minutes of the show here. That's my show clock. I guess it's right. So we appreciate you coming on the show, Max. We'll have to have you come on again.
Happy to come on, brother. I appreciate you doing a show. It's good. It's good that, you know, more and more people are speaking out. I mean, we need this. We need more radio shows and more people, you know, lifting their voices to be heard. And we need a real groundswell of consciousness. You know, it's a movement that is no movement. It's a movement that exists with the minds of each individual on the planet. That's what we need. Now, people have to just rediscover themselves and choose to stand in the power that they have, because we all inherently have as much power as everybody else. We may be born with different skills. We may not be born equal in as much as we look the same or we have the same skills in life, but we are all born with equal standing. We are all born with equal value and equal worth. and nobody has authority over anybody else. And the sooner we realize that, then the better we will be, and the sooner we can put things back in a direction that empowers humanity. You know, do all you can. Help people. Help everybody that you can. Be a shining example. Lead by example in all that you do. Be a pleasure to be around, and you can make a huge difference. Every single person out there. You know, there's no movement to join. There's nothing you have to learn. You just have to change your perspective, and it's something everybody can do right now. So that's my message anyway. Involve folks, because now is the time we can bring about change.
Yep, right now. Thank you, brother. We appreciate you coming on. We'll have you on again and do some more of it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure, brother. For sure.
All right. Take care, Max.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Aloha.